This morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew, finishing up Matthew 24. So we'll be in verses 45 through 51 of Matthew 24, continuing to talk about the aspect of Jesus coming back and the unexpectedness of when Jesus will come back. But he actually gives us how to live inside of that. Like last week we looked at preparing for the unexpected, right? And how if we keep our eyes on Jesus and following Jesus, it prepares us for the unexpected. Well, Jesus is going to talk about what it looks like to be prepared in verses 45 through 51 this morning. He's going to talk about what it looks like to be unprepared and prepared. And so as you turn there, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless our time together this morning. Father, we do just thank you for the opportunity to be here, to gather together. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, we pray for all of those that are on vacation today. Lord, we pray for safe travels. We pray that they'll have fun memories, great memories this week that last a lifetime, Lord. And I just pray for the circumstances that are in our hearts and our minds, things that we might not have told others in our lives, but we're thinking about, we're concerned about, Lord. And we just lift those concerns to you. We lift our health concerns. We lift our legal concerns. We lift our financial concerns. Lord, we lift our dreams to you. Lord, our dreams for the future we lift to you. And Lord, we just pray for your forgiveness of our sins and ways, Lord, that we have fallen short of following you. Lord, I pray that you'll point those out to us so that we can change. And I pray in those areas that we are refusing to change, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to change, Lord. And we just thank you for how much you love us and you care for us, Lord, that you show us the way to you. You show us the way to live our lives, Lord, that we will really and truly not have regrets by simply following you. And I pray that today as we open your word, you'll show us in the specific situations how to follow you. It's in your holy name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let me read it for us. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 45. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, when Jesus gets to this section, he's asking the question of the disciples. He's asking a question to them, and he says this: who is the wise and faithful servant in this example? Is it the one that does what his master has asked the servant to do when he puts him in charge of the household? Or is the person who does whatever he wants to do and lives a life of indulgence and hurts everyone around him, is he a faithful and wise servant? Well, obviously, everyone in the crowd would say, well, the one that was faithful in doing what the master had asked was the faithful and wise servant. And so Jesus gives them this example to give them an idea of what it looks like when we are waiting for Christ to come back. In that period of waiting and waiting and waiting, sometimes we feel like that we're not ever going to see God come back. We're not ever going to see Jesus come back. And we can do one of two things. One, we can do what God calls us to in life. We can follow the direction that God has placed in our lives. Or we can go the opposite direction and say, I can live how I want to, and then when I get close to death, I can just ask God for forgiveness and go to heaven. And Jesus points out to them that the wise and faithful servant is the one who does what he's called to do and does not live a life of self-indulgence. And so the way that I put it in my notes and put it to myself to help us remember what Jesus is teaching his disciples is that God rewards faithfulness and he punishes selfishness. God rewards faithfulness and he punishes selfishness. And when verses 45 through 47, he shows us how he rewards that faithfulness. So if you look again in verse 45, it says, "Who then is this faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household?" Notice how it says the master set the servant over the household. So often in life when we work hard for something or we have a family situation that we really enjoy, we feel like we've earned it. We feel like we're the ones that have done all the hard work. We're the ones that if we have our own business, we put in all of the hard work and it's ours. And we treat it like it's our own baby and we treat it like we can do whatever we want with that thing, that family, that business, whatever it may be. But what if you began to look at your life and go, God has entrusted me with this job. God has entrusted me with this school. God has entrusted me with this family. God has entrusted me with this situation that I am going through. It would change how you viewed the situation. It would change how you viewed everything, because when you look at it from the perspective that God has entrusted you with that family, with that career, with that situation, you begin to go, okay, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to be faithful and wise in this situation? Now notice it doesn't say that the master went to the servant and said, do you want this? Right? It doesn't say that in the text. It doesn't say the master went over to the servant and says, do you want all of this extra responsibility? Sometimes we have it in a job situation where a boss or someone comes to us, gives us all of these extra responsibilities, and we go, and what's my pay raise for doing this? And how many of you have noticed they go, nothing? You ever noticed that? And you go, well, will I get a promotion later on for this? Like, nope. You're just going to get more responsibilities at the same pay. And then sometimes in some situations they'll say, well, actually, you're going to get more responsibilities and less pay. So, this is the situation. The master comes up to this servant. We've all had those situations in a work environment or a school environment where we felt like someone has added responsibilities to us and we didn't really want those responsibilities. Sometimes those are the situations that we have in life. God puts us in situations or allows us to go through situations that we never, ever wanted to go through. All you have to do is look at a financial situation or a health situation and you can agree. There have been those times where you have gone through a situation where you felt the weight of the world on top of you and you never, ever wanted to go through it. Whether this is a good situation or a bad situation for this servant, he has a choice. He can either live for himself with the situation that he's in, with what he's been entrusted to, or he can live in faithful servant to his master or to his master and his fellow servants. And what does this person do? Blessed, verse 46, blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What does he do? Well, it says in verse 45, giving them their food at the proper time. You might be wondering, what does that mean? What it means is the master has put this servant in charge, and when the master comes back, he sees this servant taking care of all of the fellow servants. When it talks about food at the proper time, it means that they're fed, they're being worked, they're being properly taken care of. When the master comes back, even though it's been in a very long period of time since the master has come back, he comes back and he finds this servant doing everything that he has asked. And one of the notes put it this way. He says, this slave or this servant has been doing what he should. He does not know when his master will return, but apparently that does not concern him greatly. He works at the task committed to him so that whenever the master chooses to come back, all will be in order. When the master comes back and finds him working at the things he should be working, then the servant's lot is blessed. Notice what happens when we do what God calls us to do, even in situations that we don't want to be in. Verse 47. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. So he went from simply a servant in the house, just doing his normal day-to-day jobs. Then the master comes to him and says, I want you to take care of all of these servants. Even though that servant probably didn't want that responsibility, right? Who wants to have the responsibility over your other coworkers when they yell and scream at you, right? And they don't get their way. Or maybe it's another situation where you just don't want to be in. But The servant had chosen to be faithful, even though he didn't know how long he was going to go through that situation, even though he thought the master was taking way too much time allowing the servant to go through the situation. He still stayed faithful and did everything that the master wanted him to do. And the reward was that the servant was giving more responsibility. How many of you like that? The reward is that because you've been so good with all of these responsibilities, I'm coming back to give you even more responsibilities. Now you're going to be in charge of the entire household. Everything I own, you are going to be in charge. Basically, he makes this servant second in command. So, when you do well, when you are faithful with what God gives you, what God gives you is more to be faithful with. Isn't that fun to see? A lot of times we think about, if I am just faithful in this period with this small circumstance, what God is going to do is He's going to let me rest and have ease for the rest of my life. I'm not going to have any more of this stress on me. And what happens is that when you are faithful with the small things, God gives you more to be faithful with. And then when you get to those situations where you feel like you have been faithful with things that have stressed you out and they've been hard, God gives you even more to be faithful in. And why? Because you are being a faithful servant. The blessing and the reward of faithfulness is more opportunity to be faithful with. Sometimes what people do is they say, well, if I'm faithful with my finances at this point, I'm going to get to a point where I'm multi-millionaire, and then I can go spend all of this money on myself. I can go spend it all on all of these desires and dreams that I've always wanted. Well, that's what the unfaithful servant does. When we are faithful with what God gives us financially, He gives us more to be faithful with, to be a good steward with. When we begin to see that our lives is not about us, it's not about fulfilling our own dreams and our own desires, it's about following Jesus, it changes everything. Because when we begin to see that we are following Jesus and the situations that we are in are entrusted to us by God, then the situation is not about me. It's about God. It's about what He wants to accomplish in the situations that we're going through. That might be an illness. That might be a family situation. That might be finances. That might be a situation you never ever wanted to be in. But what if you saw it from the perspective that God has entrusted me for this season and for this situation? It would change your entire outlook, because God is calling you, God is calling me to be faithful to what He entrusts us with. One of my classmates in school, I'll never forget, she was the smartest one out of all of us, but she also worked hard too. You know, there's that mixture of talent and natural smarts, and then there's somebody that works really, really hard. I'll never forget that she would get like an A minus and get upset, right? And all the rest of us, like, if we can just get a B and survive, we'll be happy. I don't know if any of you are like that, but that's how I was. Well, what happened? She continued to do better than all of us, and she went on to get a college degree, went on to get a PhD, and now teaches up at Furman. And so what happened? Well, the longer that she was faithful with her school, the longer that she worked hard, studied hard, the more opportunities with school that she was given. And eventually it led to her being able to be a professor at our age, at 30 years old. She was able to get that accomplished. Sometimes that happens in work, is that we're faithful in that small area that God gives us, and then over time we begin to get more and more responsibility. Sometimes that happens in family situations where God continues to give us more the more we are faithful with. But the key to remember is that when God entrusts us with a situation, even if it's a situation that we don't want to be in, God holds us accountable for those situations. God holds us accountable for the life decisions that we make, because the master comes back one day. The master always comes back one day, and we have to give an account for all that God has entrusted to us. The trap is when we begin to live for ourselves instead of living for our Savior. And this is what verses 48 through 51 show us. The trap of living for ourselves instead of living our lives for God. But if, this is verse 48, if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why is Jesus telling them this? Why is Jesus talking about this delay of this master? Well, Jesus is probably predicting his own delay in coming back, his second coming, because remember, the disciples thought that the end of the world was going to happen when the temple was destroyed. And Jesus told them, no, this is going to be the worst period of human history at that time, but I'm not coming back right when the temple is destroyed. And so it's giving them that mindset that the master may be delayed. And what do you do in that period of delay, in that period of waiting? Well, this servant says in his own heart, in his mind, he's thinking this aloud, my master's not coming back, right? He's going to be gone a long period of time. I can do what I want to do. It's like when your mom and dad go on vacation, right? I don't know if you ever experienced this, but me and my brother experienced this. Once he got to driving age, my parents went off to a pastor's conference, and my brother was head of the house at 16 years old for 2 days. And my mom put about a $20 bill on the refrigerator and says, this is y'all's food for the next 3 days. The entire house was full of groceries, and she said, if y'all want to go out to eat, here's $20 on the fridge that y'all can go have what you want. But if you spend that $20 the first night, you ain't getting anything else, right? And I'll never forget, I was like, Mom and Dad are home. I'm staying up late. I'm not going to school, right? My friends are going to come hang out. That's what I'm going to do. My immediate mindset was, when my parents are gone, I can live how I want to. You probably never experienced that. You were probably like, well, my parents are gone, I'm going to be the perfect angel at home, right? Well, this is the mindset of this servant. The master's not coming back. I can live how I want to. We can party it up. I can go have fun. Man, this is going to be awesome. And probably if he does come back, he's going to send word so I can clean up the mess once he gets back. And so this is the mindset of this servant. So he begins to live for himself. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you begin to be selfish and live for yourself, you hurt everyone else around you. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But when you begin to live your life selfishly, you begin to hurt everyone that is beside you, especially those closest to you or those that even work with you. It says he began to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. Now, what I always tell folks is, whenever they read the Bible, sometimes folks will say that drinking alcohol is a sin. And I always point out that you don't see that. You don't see in the Bible where it says alcohol itself is sin. What you see over and over and over again in the Bible is that getting drunk is a sin. When it leads past moderation and leads to getting drunk all the time, that is where the problem is. And why it's a problem is because it hurts you. It hurts you, it hurts your family members, it hurts everyone involved. And when it gives this story of this servant, he's beginning to hurt all of those around him by his selfish living. And then he continues it on in his drunkenness because he's continuing to hurt everyone around him. Sometimes those things in life that are good things, we turn into bad things and hurtful things. It can be an addiction that used to be something that was fun, and you used to say, man, this is awesome, but now it's turned into an addiction. It's hurting those around you, whatever it may be, right? He begins to hurt those around him because of his selfish living. Verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect, and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Why does it experience like this? Because this servant was living his life selfishly. He was hurting all of those around him. And what happens when we begin to live our lives only for ourselves, we begin to focus on our own happiness, our own enjoyment. We're hurting all of those around us. We don't see the big picture. We don't see how we're hurting people. And guess what we don't see? We don't see the master coming back. We don't see when the situation changes, right? We don't see that coming from afar. Why? Because we've been focusing on ourselves the entire time. What Jesus is telling his disciples is that the wise and faithful servant follows me. What I entrusted to him, he does what I've called him to do. The unfaithful servant, the unwise servant, is the one that says, you know what, Jesus isn't coming back anytime soon. I can live how I want to. And what happens is that he destroys every relationship. He destroys himself in the end because the master is always coming back. We will all give an account to Jesus with the life that we have led. And none of us want to get before Jesus one day and say, you know what? My entire life, the 70, 80 years that you gave me, I spent it all on myself. I didn't care about anyone else around me. I just lived for myself. No one wants to look at Jesus and say that. Because living selfishly, living only for our own desires, our own happiness, instead of living following Jesus, always comes back to haunt us. In the end, this servant that had his fun for a little while, that fun for that temporary period of time, came back to have one of the worst sufferings of his entire life, right? Focusing on ourselves like that, focusing on our own selfish desires, causes us to lose sight of the big picture, and we're caught off guard when the situation changes. When the situation changes, we are totally caught off guard because the situations that we go through in life are temporary. Some of the hardest situations you've ever been in, and even some of the greatest situations you've ever been in, right? Some of those experiences where you've been like, man, this is the best experience in the world. Man, it doesn't get any better than this. Sometimes that only lasts for a few days or a few weeks or a few years. Then it goes to a different season. And if we're only focusing on ourselves, we lose sight when that situation changes. And when that situation changes, it totally catches us off guard. And then it leads to our own suffering, especially when we've been focusing on our own selves and not focusing on what God has called us to do, because God has entrusted each and every one of us with something. He's entrusted each and every one of us with the situations that we're currently in. Some of us might be saying, well, I don't like the situation that I'm currently in. I guarantee you that servant didn't like it when the master came to him and said, you're in charge of everybody. I'll see you when I get back, right? He didn't like it, but he was faithful with what God had entrusted him with. If you are faithful with what God entrusts you with, he will reward you in the end. But it may take time. That's what we see with this servant. It was unexpected when the master would come back, but he was faithful. And when we are faithful, God rewards our faithfulness. And when we are selfish, when we spend our own time, our own lives, all about us and what we can get for ourselves, it always comes back to haunt us in the end. That wicked servant, I'll bet you, if he could have gone back, he would have said, man, I wish I hadn't spent all of that time focusing on myself and focusing on what I wanted, because in the end, it came back to haunt him. God rewards our faithfulness and he always punishes our selfishness. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us that in this period of waiting, that you have entrusted each and every one of us with situations, with the finances, with the illnesses, with whatever it may be. Maybe it's a sick loved one, Lord. You've entrusted each and every one of us with responsibility. And Lord, some of those responsibilities we may not want. Some of them may be the hardest situations that we've ever gone through. But you've entrusted us, Lord. And I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord. Will you help us to be faithful? Will you help us to be wise servants with what you have entrusted us? Will you show us, Lord God, what you want us to do? And may we follow you step by step. Lord, I pray in those situations in our lives where we have been focusing on ourselves, we've been focusing on our selfish desires, where we have hurt all of those around us and we've not even noticed it, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will show us. Show us where we have been living selfishly. Show us where we have been hurting those in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there are things in our lives that used to be good things, that used to be really fun things, Lord, that have turned into addictions in our lives, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will show us. I pray that you will show us those things that are hurting the people in our lives that we're doing, Lord, that we may change, that we may have the opportunity to change now, that you may bring reconciliation and restoration in those relationships, Lord. We love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name that we do pray. Amen. Amen.